All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And this is a show every week where we talk about issues relating to mental health. My own particular approach to things is a very holistic approach, which means body, mind, and spirit. And my own belief in my own life, as well as the work I do with my clients, is that the goal is to find balance so that we're conscious and paying attention to what our body's saying to us, what our mind is doing, where our emotions are, and how spirit plays a role in that. However you define spirit, whether it's just called love, intuition, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, to me there is that inner voice that speaks to us, and I think it's as important to listen to that inner voice and to distinguish between that higher voice, that higher self, and that inner voice that is constantly speaking in terms of fear and warnings and terror and other things like that. So every week our topics have been very varied, and tonight's topic is actually empty nest syndrome. When the house is empty, how to fill your life. And my guest tonight, who I'll introduce after the first break, is actually a clinical psychologist named Peggy Lemire from Chicago, who also is a host on KFNX on Thursday afternoons, and her show is State of Mind. And I was a guest on her show, actually, about a month ago, where her topic was homophobia and its impact on teenagers. And this is a relevant topic tonight for her in terms of empty nest syndrome, and we'll talk more about that when she gets online. But right now, I want to talk about empty nest. You know, there's a lot of different ways for us to define empty nest syndrome. In the most common sense of the term, it's usually defined as a point in parents' lives when the kids have left the house, and if they're single parents left by themselves, maybe with the pets, if there's a mom and dad in the house, then they're left to look at each other and deal with each other and be in relationship with each other without the distractions of the kids, and sometimes that's a blessing for them. Sometimes it blows the relationship apart. Because it's not something that they've been doing for the last 18 or 25 or 30 years. So empty nest in the most routine terms usually means it's like this natural part of life's transitions and maturation when parents have raised their children and it's that age and that time where they're either going off to college or getting a job of their own in a place of their own, maybe even leaving the city. And how does one deal with that? But I think empty nest also occurs in a more traumatic way sometimes when there's been an unexpected death of a child or children. Like I'm sure there was some parents with the Columbine massacre where maybe it was their only child or the last child remaining home. And so it's not really that natural transition. It's a shock, it's a grief, it's an unexpected, very painful thing that was not, quote-unquote, supposed to happen that way and at that time. Sometimes the empty nest might be because of divorce, where all of a sudden the kids are gone and one parent's living alone and they don't have custody of the kids, and while their life was involved with that experience of daily interaction with their children, all of a sudden that's not there. So emptiness can happen for a lot of reasons. I think in a wider sense, emptiness can also be defined when all of a sudden your life's been filled with something important, something where you had this role of mentor and nurturer, and all of a sudden that's not there anymore. And that can come into play in a lot of ways, whether it's foster parents all of a sudden where the kids are adopted out or the kids are no longer there, they had to go back to their parents. You know, there are a lot of different ways where people can feel that sense of emptiness. And I think it is something that can be extremely painful or definitely a challenge to grow and move to a higher place in one's own lives. And we're going to talk about all of that this evening. And there's, of course, a difference between whether it's a single parent raising children and all of a sudden left alone, or whether there is a couple. And there's a difference between, most of the time we talk about emptiness, we usually are sympathizing with the mother and what she's going through. And I think dads are often the forgotten ones in this. And we're going to talk a little bit later tonight about, you know, a dad's experience with emptiness syndrome. To start, I actually would like to read something that I got off Dr. Koop's website, and it's an article called Facing the Empty Nest by Christina Del Valle. And she wrote, like so many other women, Sue Tarrant has spent most of her married life tending to her husband and three daughters. She followed her husband around the world as he climbed the ladder of a foreign service career. She long ago lost count of the soccer games, swim meets, and dance recitals she attended to cheer on her daughters. Her family was her life. Their discoveries and joys were the very fuel that sustained her as a woman. That's a very important statement. Her family was her life. Their discoveries and joys were the very fuel that sustained her as a woman. Tarrant never really thought about how much she depended emotionally on her children until this summer, when she began helping her oldest daughter pack for college. Now she has an inkling, and it doesn't feel good. Quote, things will never be the same again, said Tarrant, 45, of Fairfax, Virginia, already looking ahead to the day when her younger two depart her home for adulthood. I don't know what I'm going to do when they all leave. As teens across the country prepare for their own exits from the nest, almost as many mothers and some fathers are struggling with a sense of loss that some experts compare to the death of a loved one. In a way that's hard for anyone to anticipate, a fundamental part of the parent's life is coming to an end. Let's face it, it is a time of great loss, a time of change, said Jennifer Snow, a certified social worker based in Woodbury, Long Island, New York, who specializes in family and women's issues. When children leave, so does the noise. The phones stop ringing. The dog stops barking. Counselors, social workers, and mothers who have been through the trauma say that women have to work hard and work long before children leave to surmount the pain and confusion that comes with children leaving. The most important skill they can practice is living their own lives. I'm going to read that again. The most important skill they can practice is living their own lives, even if they stay at home as traditional mothers. That means volunteering, nurturing friendships, pursuing avocations that challenge them and force them to grow. Children thrive when they realize that mom is passionate about something beyond their narrow and, yes, let's face it, selfish interests. They see a woman setting an example of how to lead a full, rich life. What better gift could a mom give her children? In other words, what she's saying in that is that when the children are getting ready to leave, that's not the time to first start dealing with this. Everything we've always talked about on most of these shows is about self-empowerment, being all you can be in the world, setting an example for the people around you, whether it's siblings, whether it's coworkers, whether it's friends, children, spouses, by living your own life to the fullest, setting an example that really means finding your own passion. And while it's appropriate and necessary that one's commitment as a parent sees their children as that passion, it's also important, in my way of thinking, that there are other things one finds passionate. Whether it's volunteer work, whether it's hobbies, whether it's creating something, whether it's writing, whatever the situation is, it's important, and it sets an example for others that one can be more than a one-note parent. That, as I said at the beginning of that article and reread, her Her family was her life, their discoveries and joys the very fuel that sustained her as a woman. I think when we become so enmeshed and so codependent that we live through other people, then something's missing from ourselves. And of course, there's going to be a sense of terror that comes when all of a sudden those other people that we've been living through start maturing, hopefully, and leave. Now, unfortunately, there are some people, some parents, who subconsciously usually, but in a very selfish subconscious way, sabotage that leaving in order to maintain their sense of identity and their role, to keep the children home, to keep them dependent, keep them moving back. And again, that's not obviously doing their children a service when the whole point of growing is for them to be able to become full, thriving adults, feeling a sense of passion for something in their own life, and feeling productive and creative. And to me, that's the natural goal of parenting, and it's important for the parents to keep that in mind. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Peggy Lemire about parenting and children leaving home. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Every day, millions of people in the United States wake up to billions of allergens. Introducing new Clarinex brand of desloratadine tablets. One tiny blue pill. Clarinex provides receptor protection to help block histamine. Get 24-hour, non-drowsy relief from your allergy symptoms all day, all night, all year. Side effects are similar to sugar pill, including sore throat, dry mouth, and fatigue. Clarinex is available by prescription only. Call 1-800-CLARINEX or visit clarinex.com for important information. And look for our ad in Health Magazine. Wherever you are, whatever your allergy, talk to your doctor to learn more about new 24-hour Clarinex.
Attention all small business owners. How would you like to increase your sales and save your precious cash? My name is Lori Baker, and I am director of the Barter Group. I can show you how to start doing business with 500 of our members right away. That's right. We have 500 small businesses that would like to trade products and services with you today. The Barter Group has been serving the Valley for over 25 years. There are no setup fees or annual dues, and it's as simple as using your credit card, except no cash is exchanged. The Barter Group is looking to expand its member base. Take your business to the next level overnight by calling me at 480-443-0322. That's 480-443-0322. Or visit our website at bartergroup.com. You know, you can even trade for your own radio spot. We did.
Your business has to deal with two important issues. You have to keep ahead of your customers' needs, and you also have to be attentive to the needs of your employees. To better understand the dynamics of the workplace, tune into The Carter Harden Show on Tuesdays at noon. Carter Harden will tap into the provocative current issues in the workplace that impact both employees and employers. What do you need to know as an employee? What do you need to know as a boss? Find out when you tune into The Carter Harden Show on Tuesdays at noon on Hot Talk 1100
KFNX.
You're listening to Hot Talk 1100 KFNX. Tune into Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and in the afternoons, The Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I remind anyone listening, this is a live call-in show, and if you're so inclined, we'd love to take some calls tonight, and the toll-free number is 1-877-900-5369, 877-900-5369. So tonight's topic is empty nest syndrome. When the house is empty, how to fill your life. And my guest, as I said earlier, is Peggy Lemire, who is a clinical psychologist from Chicago with a private practice and also a host with her own show on KFNX called State of Mind, which deals with mental health issues just like this one does. And it's on Thursday afternoons on KFNX. So, Peggy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. Nice to be here.
And I know that when I did your show a month ago, you know, there was a really nice connection, and you told me about your own approaching emptiness syndrome as your son is moving here to Los Angeles, leaving you and your husband without the day-to-day involvement at home of your two sons. And that it was an impact, and that's kind of how we got into this topic this week. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and what's going on in your life around dealing with emptiness syndrome?
Okay, I think that I'm probably in phase four of emptiness syndrome. I think we could define it into different stages. I have two sons. One is going to be 24 this week. He graduated from college almost a year ago and is now moving from Chicago to Los Angeles. My 22-year-old son is doing a semester abroad in Australia. He's very, very far away. The stage one, I think, was probably the entire preparation. The whole time they were growing up, I was very, very aware of how deeply involved I could be as a parent, and that it would end someday. And so I tried to get ready for that and have a career, and I was a big planner about it. So that's the whole stage one. And then stage two was when it actually happened, when my first son went away to college. And he was gone, and we dropped him off at the University of Arizona, and it was just a tremendous blow for everyone, for the whole family. I found myself talking to everyone about it. I found a lot of other mothers were not really suffering the impact as much as I was. I kept comparing myself to other people. And then he went along, and after a while, I kind of got used to that, and then it was time, bam, to send the second child away to college. And then that was stage three. The nest was truly empty. So we've gone from there to this new part right now, which is when I have met you, with my older son actually graduating from college, coming home for 9 months, and now, in fact, moving away to another city far away, and getting a job, and it just keeps hitting me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
What's the difficult part of it for you? What's going on emotionally on your end?
I think that you touched on many aspects of my own personal relationship, and also the relationships of a lot of my patients who go through this in your introduction, and I think that there's a role or there's a relationship that you have with a child. You gave birth to this child or you adopted this child, and that is unlike anything else that I could ever experience. And you, when you have a relationship like that, it's a wonderful thing. It's pure love. It's a gift from God, whatever you want to call it. It's highly spiritual, very challenging, and I have a very good relationship with both of my sons, and it's just going to change. I'll always be mom to them, but they're not dependent on me anymore, and that creates a real vacuum in my life, and you have to suck it up, and you have to struggle with it, and you have to let go. It involves letting go. It involves seeing them go off into their own lives and never really needing you the way that they did before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for many people, they've not prepared, they're not working, They're shocked about it. I feel differently. I feel like I thought I prepared myself. I thought I wasn't going to be shocked. I went out and got my PhD. I have a private practice. I've always done my own things. I've always been very, very involved. And it was still a tremendous blow that was sad and depressing. But I also think that if you look at the adult life cycle, I feel something happening with me developmentally that is now allowing me to start to accept this.
What is it you notice happening that's allowing you to get into a place of acceptance, and how did you get there?
Well, you talked a lot about fears that you face. I had a lot of emotion and a lot of fear about this stage in my life, and the anticipation, I dreaded it, and then it happened, and I felt a lot of pain over it. And now I feel myself, you know, transitioning to another phase where I can say to myself, yes, this is what is happening to me. This is who I am. I've been very lucky to have this relationship with these boys. I cannot do anything, as you mentioned, in any way to let them ever think that I don't want anything but the best from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully am integrating the fact that I know I can feel in my heart a real, true happiness about them being on their own.
Great. So we're going to continue with Peggy Lemire when we come back after this break, so please stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
What's the key to success in business?
Good.
For many people, the key is sales. Sell enough of whatever it is you have to sell, and a lot of other business problems go away. But what if your selling effort isn't paying off? Are you sure that your understanding of what's working in selling now is state-of-the-art? Learn what's working now in selling. Upgrade your company's marketing programs and positioning. Make more money by calling Lenan McGookie Gardner Management Consulting. They're at 505-828-1788. Or visit Lenan and her crew on the web at www.youcansell.com. That's www.youcansell.com.
Be sure to tune in to The Crux of the Matter with host Phil Duncan every Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Imus in the Morning. Let's face it, you need more than just headlines to stay on top of today's important issues. You need the unique chance to hear from and ask questions directly to our leading national figures by calling in your questions to Phil's distinguished guests, including current and former White House officials, secretaries of state, national security advisors, ambassadors, and renowned academic specialists. Phil allows you to get straight to the crux of the matter on issues that are important to you. Tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Imus in the Morning here on AM 1100 KFNX.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Race Week Radio. Tune in Wednesday nights at 11 for all the latest in the world of motorsports. Join Todd Weiland as he gets down to the nitty-gritty, lap by lap. Race Week Radio won't be limited to the big boys. This show is dedicated to fulfilling all of your speed needs. NASCAR, kart, Formula One, even speed boating. Race Week Radio every Wednesday at 11 p.m. only on AM 1100 KFNX.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast.
This is the 50,000-watt powerhouse station, serving all of Arizona and beyond. Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and my guest tonight is Peggy Lemire, who is a clinical psychologist in Chicago and a host here on KFNX with a show on Thursdays called State of Mind. And tonight's topic is empty nest syndrome. When the house is empty, how to fill your life. Peggy, actually, during the break, we were talking about the emotions that you're going through, and then even as you were speaking on the air a little while ago, I could feel, and I think it was coming across, that there is a sadness, and there is, I would assume, mixed with a sense of excitement about what's going on in your children's lives, as well as the newness in your life and maybe you and your husband's relationship. We know that letting go is never easy, even when it's the right thing to do. But I think what you started touching on was, in fact, related to the topic, the title of this show, Tell the Truth Faster. I think that in being honest and open about your sadness, as well as the joy you feel and the excitement about a new stage in life for you and them, that you're setting the example of your grieving as well as your joy, and helping your kids know and understand that this they'll be having many transitions in their own lives that demonstrate this very thing.
Exactly, and it's so easy to take a wrong turn or to lean too heavily in one direction or another. In other words, not having a balance. But I feel it's really important to share with your children, I mean, to ever clear up any kind of confusion in any way with your children and your adult children, that yes, you are truly, truly feeling a tremendous sadness. It represents how much you love them, and that it's normal. It would be silly to try to hide it because they know it's there anyway. At the same time, not having them think, oh, God, Mom's just going to fall apart when we leave. We're going to worry about her. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I would want to ever put off on my sons. But they know how hard it is for me.
Right. And there are parents that don't have a clarity of who they are in life, and this is scary, and they do manipulative things to try and keep the kids dependent or make them wrong for getting out on their own. I mean, you and I as therapists see this happen all the time, where there's such guilt laid on kids for doing what they need to do naturally in terms of their own growth. And I think parents need to take personal responsibility, that if they're scared, they need to seek out help for their own process in dealing with it. And if the kids are scared also, and I think it's important that they're working through this honestly together, that the kids are able to express their fears and trepidations as well as the parents.
And don't you think it's a very important time? We see clients in our practices all the time who have major issues with their elderly parents, or they're in their 40s or 50s themselves. I often think that something went wrong during this transition period. It's easy to go back to early childhood, but I often think that there was, when the kid went away from home, something went wrong in the parent's life. Maybe there was a lot of guilt produced there,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it was just the opposite of what we're talking about. Some parents make it way too obvious to their kids that they are delighted that they're gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to get into that. I'm glad you're bringing that up. There are some parents that are just so ready for it, or there's been such a conflict constantly going on between them and their kids that they're rejoicing in this fact, and maybe the kids are really excited too and can't wait to get out of the house. And it's almost as if it's a slap in the face to one another, but it's the situation that some families are facing, you know.
Right, and then therefore there's the absence of the whole next phase of life, and that is having these, you finally get used to the whole thing, and then you get to enjoy your children as adults. And as they get, I know I'm getting off the subject here, but I just think it's really important to navigate this transition in a good way.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the skills or you think you're really not doing a good job at it, seek out support groups, seek out therapists, seek out friends that are going through similar stuff, not just to commiserate, but to find out that maybe you're not crazy or to find what tools that they use. I mean, I even found a website when I was doing research for this called emptynestmoms.com. And it's it's a chat room for moms that are going through this. I'm sure there are dads on there, too. But isn't that amazing what the Internet can do now to offer that kind of support to do that? While we're mentioning dads, what is your husband going through? I mean, it seems to me that the two of you have a really good relationship, and having gotten to know you a little bit more, it seems to me like there is a nice sense of mutual support there. But how are you aware of things that he's specifically going through? Because it's doing the fathers and the kids a disservice not to acknowledge that dads are going through a shift too here.
Agree, and that is a very fascinating area because it's really hard to get a grip on empty nest syndrome for men. I think from what I see, well, with my own husband, he doesn't verbalize this the way I do. There's almost a sense of, oh, you know, Peggy's having a much harder time with this, although I know he is.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's having
know?
A hard time with it, too. But I think that it gets translated in other ways, almost like, what is he going to do with the rest of his life? How long is he going to keep working? What should he be worried about? How is his health? It's almost like it's the empty nest syndrome for him is getting more personalized into anxiety about his own life and his health. It's just a big slap in the face to him and a big wake-up call that he's 60 years old now. I don't think he's as clear on what I see in him is a real sadness about his sons not being around,
mm-hmm.
his golfing buddies.
Well,
you know, the guys not going to the hockey games at five times a week,
mm-hmm.
watching them play hockey. He just doesn't seem to be able, and I see that with a lot of men. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's not that day-to-day focus of a source of pride for them, in a sense. It's almost as if, you know, having the kids in his life help feed his sense of self and his sense of pride in how these children were presenting themselves in the world.
Right.
And actually, there's another short article I wanted to read that I got off the Internet called How Dads Fill an Empty Nest by Jane Brooks. And she writes, "The last child kid has flown the coop. What now? Ambivalence. At least that's what parents at this milestone generally acknowledge. While mothers are fairly outspoken about their mixed emotions when the kids leave home, fathers tend to be less vocal," which is a lot of what you were saying.
Right.
"But what of the dads who spend countless hours pitching softballs and making ponytails? How does a dad feel when his last child leaves? When younger son Zach left for college, Philadelphian Ron Bird, a 53-year-old CEO, dropped his football season tickets. When the boys were home, we almost never missed a game," says a wistful Bird, who attended only two games sans children this past season. "Fathers like Bird, who have developed a solid, healthy relationship with children, are likely to miss them greatly. But if the relationship between a father and his children, particularly between father and son, is strained, the father's reaction may be quite different." Richard Shapiro, a psychotherapist in Wynwood, Pennsylvania, explains, "Most of the men I see dealing with empty nest-related issues are almost happy to get rid of their sons because now they can have mom to themselves. Daughters, on the other hand, aren't perceived as rivals," which I think is very interesting here. Shapiro explains that it's not uncommon for a man to feel abandoned by his wife when children are born. It's usually not conscious and doesn't mean the feeling is abnormal, but unresolved jealousy can cause friction in a family for years. It often surfaces when the last child leaves. The obvious advantage to empty nesting is more time for the parents to be a couple. Less obvious is the opportunity to be apart. And, you know, again,
they're talking about a lot of the same things that you were talking about, you know, how the parents relate to the kids, and it's now time to deal with the relationship between mom and dad.
Well, that's an enormous issue
mm-hmm.
for many couples.
Mm-hmm.
It really is true what you said before, the very simple phrase, I'll paraphrase, it's not what you've been doing all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You've not been just focusing on each other or on the relationship. And let's face it, getting really involved in raising children, it can be a great distraction from any kind of problems you have. And let's take a couple who's really determined and dedicated to raising kids the right way. What are they going to do? They're not going to be arguing a lot in front of these kids because they know they're educated and they know that this is not the right thing to do. They might keep a lot of stuff under wraps for many, many years, and they can because what they really have in common is the love for these children and raising them together. Obviously, I'm describing a certain type of family.
Right.
Then the kids are gone, and you know what happens. Suddenly, they're there, just the two of them. They're lost, unresolved issues. They really don't know each other in this way, and they probably, maybe, a lot of people don't want to be spending that much time together.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're afraid to because they've lost, they forgot how to communicate to each other. And to me, this is an opportunity. I mean, like anything else, we could see it as an opportunity for growth or as a crisis. But it's an opportunity, in a sense, if they're really conscious, and they know there's still a foundation of love there, but they've forgotten how to really romance one another. It's an opportunity to start playing with new ways of exploring having romance with each other in a way that they haven't before, or maybe getting back to what they used to do but lost track of because of the kids.
Rediscovering
the whole
thing. What it was that got you together and kept you together all these years.
Right. So we'll talk more about that when we come back after this break, so please stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Does thinking about money drive you to chocolate? As much as we might wish dealing with money would go away, it won't. If managing your money seems like a cross between a root canal and quantum physics, here is a book for you. Money Toolbox for Women, Simple Solutions for Mastering Your Money, written by Dr. Audrey Reed, delves into the mysteries of your money life and gives you new tools and skills in a simple, direct, to-the-point format that puts you firmly in the driver's seat. Money Toolbox for Women, Simple Solutions for Mastering Your Money is practical and uplifting. It will change the way you think about your money, which can create a solid foundation for new behavioral choices. It is dedicated to helping you deal with your money more efficiently. Money Toolbox for Women talks to you in a plain and friendly style. You'll find yourself saying, I can do that, or I will do that. This book is comfortable and easy to read. It will change your life. Order Money Toolbox for Women at MoneyToolboxForWomen.com or by calling 888-853-6564. Again, that's MoneyToolboxForWomen.com or by calling 888-853-6564.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Daniel Stern for the Department of Labor.
Do you know how much income you're going to need to maintain your standard of living after you retire? Anywhere from 70 to 90% of what you're pulling in now. You can figure on about 40% from Social Security, but where's the rest going to come from? A combination of your employer's pension plan, if you have one, and your own private savings. You can do it if you start now. To learn more, call the Department of Labor at 1-800-998-7542. Do it now, because saving matters.
I'm Tim Paulson, co-host of Good Vibrations, a new thought-provoking hour on Hot Talk 1100 every Saturday evening at 6. On Good Vibrations, we'll interview today's top writers, bringing you inspired views on life, success, and relationships. Good Vibrations can help you achieve your goals and perhaps feel a little lighter and happier along the way. Join us for Good Vibrations every Saturday evening at 6, right here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Arizona's Hot Talk Station, offering the most unique programming, 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster, and we're talking about empty nest syndrome. When the house is empty, how to fill your life, and my guest tonight is Peggy Lemire. Lemire, is it? Lemire, okay. A clinical psychologist from Chicago who's also a host here on KFNX. Her show is on Thursday afternoons at what time, Phoenix time?
3 to 4 on Phoenix time.
3 to 4 Phoenix time, and it's called State of Mind. So if what I do on this show is of interest, you probably will enjoy her show also because it's all about mental health issues. We were talking before the break about relationships and what happens with the parents left behind. I think there are twofold things going here. Sometimes it's a single parent, and that single parent has, in a sense, sometimes sacrificed dating and romance and stuff in order to stay focused on raising their kids, and now they feel like they've sacrificed so much it's almost like a martyrdom thing, or they just feel so alone and don't know how to get back into dating or back into finding romance and intimacy in their lives. And sometimes when it's a mom and dad, it's a difficult thing for them to figure out how to reconnect. Or for some of them, it's like an exciting thing because they know that the love is there and it's now a new adventure for them to bring that intimacy back in. What are your thoughts on what a couple or what even a single parent can do in order to bring romance back in their lives when the kids aren't there as the focus and distraction?
Well, as far as the single parent, I think it's a unique position to be in. I think the person can end up feeling very worn out. There might be a lot of other things going on. Why aren't they having relationships in their lives at the same time they're raising children? I'm not sure. I think it's easier for me to address what happens with a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
That seems more obvious to me. But with a single parent, there can be so many issues involved there where you can just be so out of touch for so long with the dating scene, with the skills you might need, with even a desire to develop a relationship, or it may just be so overwhelming at that point in life. Many people in my practice have a lot of women who go through this, and they just don't have the energy.
Or feeling like life's now passed them by and they're not attractive anymore because they're not in their 20s anymore, and then, you know, the competition's too great, and some of them don't know how not to give up, or some of them don't know how to assert themselves and develop that confidence.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And you always hear the expression, there are no men out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are no men out there, and there are no men out there. And so I think they're probably, it's harder to look at this empty nest syndrome in relation to a single woman because there could be so much else involved there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different kinds of fears about even thinking about starting over.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to talk about the couple who has been together for so long and faces the trauma of the empty nest and is not able to, you say, what can you do? I think people really need to hang in there and be strong and talk truthfully about what they're seeing in their marriage and what has happened and what's been missing and all of the good things and all of the reasons they got together in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and say these great kids that they raised, get some therapy. It's an excellent time for couples mm-hmm. to come in. I've had many couples come in, and, you know, they don't need a lot of therapy at all.
Yeah.
It's short term.
Mm-hmm.
They need to reevaluate. They need to, you know, reconnect and often just say, it's really a good idea mm-hmm. for us to face this, and let's not do anything crazy like split up.
Right. And for many times, I think the, you know, it's like I do this in a lot of couples when there's not enough time focused on each other that, you know, whether it's just creating a date night where they actually go out on a date like they did before they got married, you know, dinner and a movie and getting out, and that nothing else will interfere with that at least one night a week where they're, you know, what's the purpose of dating? The purpose of dating is to get acquainted with someone, to find out who they are and to find out where your commonalities are and the differences are that are stimulating to you. And at this stage in life, too, I don't see dating as anything different. It's an opportunity, in a sense, to romance one another and to spend an evening without distractions and have conversation without a TV on and other things like that.
And absolutely. And also, don't be afraid to admit that you're scared and that you have these horrible thoughts such as, who is this person? I don't really know this person anymore. People are so terrified by those thoughts. Those thoughts are common.
Right. Or, I'm afraid you're not going to like me when we have the time for you to get acquainted with me again.
Another thing.
It's a self-esteem thing, too. It's not just what the other person may not be anymore, but it's sometimes the self-esteem has been so impacted that there's not a sense of comfort that you're going to be liked when that mate starts getting reacquainted with you.
And that's especially true for the man who's been out with the great job, making a lot of money or whatever, and the woman whose job has been running the house and raising the kids.
Right.
That becomes a big issue for her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a career.
Right.
And now she feels like she's not important anymore.
Okay, we're going to take our last break here and come back to some closing thoughts, so please stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler, and you're listening to Tell the Truth Faster.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 psychotherapy clients surveyed by Consumer Reports said that psychotherapy had helped them? Dr. Mike Davison, host of Possibilities Radio, is a licensed clinical psychologist who works with people's challenges in a pragmatic, solution-focused, and typically short-term manner. Dr. Davison's practice also provides psychological assessment, which gives a rich description of an individual's perceptions regarding themselves and others. Forensic consultation, which can provide a comprehensive profile of a person's psychological status for attorneys or judges, as well as business and organizational consulting, executive coaching, staff retreats, and workshop training. For more information about how Dr. Mike Davison can help you, visit his website at www.drdavison.com or call toll-free 1-800-470-3257. That's www.drdavison.com or 1-800-470-3257.
Race Week Radio. Tune in Wednesday nights at 11 for all the latest in the world of motorsports. Join Todd Weiland as he gets down to the nitty-gritty, lap by lap. Race Week Radio won't be limited to the big boys. This show is dedicated to fulfilling all of your speed needs. NASCAR, kart, Formula One, even speed boating. Race Week Radio every Wednesday at 11 p.m. only on AM 1100 KFNX.
One voice can get the point across. Two voices are stronger. Now add more. And more, and we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups fight to keep kids away from drugs. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org to find out how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more
when you get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
This is Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. Just going to start by thanking Peggy for being on the show. I think it's, first of all, I think as a professional, it's one thing to do a show about a particular topic, but what I really appreciate about what you did today was you personalized it and you allowed your own experience to come into play, and I really think that's so important as a therapist, that people understand we're all in our own human processes at the same time. So I want to thank you for that. And for the rest of you listening, some of you may be relating very closely to this. Some of you, it may be quite a ways off before empty nest is an issue for you. But maybe some things we said tonight will ring true for you in the future. And one thing that I often ask is, if you're having difficulty with your own experience and transition in any life, in any period of life, think back to when you left home. Think back to what it was like the first time you left and what your parents went through when the last sibling left the house, or even when they were saying goodbye to you. And understand that sometimes what's coming up in the moment for you, dealing with your own kids or whatever the circumstances may be, is the fact that it never got talked through back then. It never got clearly identified. There wasn't that sense of conscious honesty to really see and understand the dynamics that were going on, and maybe hard things were said to one another. And understand that if times have been rough between you and your kids, and now they're moving away, you know, sometimes that distance actually makes the relationship better. You're not on top of each other day to day. You come to appreciate things in smaller pieces until some of the healing gets done. But I really encourage you to always be open for the healing to take place. The love and intimacy that we have in our lives, whether it's parent to child, whether it's spouse, mate, lover, whether it's siblings, and friends, I think it's important that we know and understand that being able to maintain a connection, as difficult and painful as it may be sometimes, it's worth the effort to look for the healing. And even if it's friends going in for couples counseling, and understand that that happens. I've done couples work with two friends that came in because their relationship was so important to them. They wanted to work it through. But it's also important to understand that this is a process. And if it's empty nest and your kids are going through something, you're going through something, change brings up the worst in people sometimes. You need to be patient. You need to be conscious about that. And you need to take care of yourself in the process so that you're doing things to fill up your life. Feel productive and full, whether it's volunteer work or taking classes or finding ways to make new friends, whether it's taking in foster kids, if parenting is such a joy for you, whether it's working in situations where you're helping other youth. If that is something that really moves you, then do it. Keep children in your life. Emptiness doesn't mean that you no longer can have children in your life. So I want to thank you all for listening today. I ask you all to tune in next week and tell your friends about it and check out the website, tellthetruthfaster.com, where you can hear this show and all my previous shows on streaming audio on the archive page. So thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you all next week. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening. So